Welcome to From Caving In to Crushing It, the podcast for those who find themselves immersed in adversity and choose to write their story instead of having others write it for them. I'm Drew Duraney, and I'm your host.
Today's guest is Jason Croft. In his 30-plus years in media, Jason Croft has worked around the globe creating professional content in wide-ranging roles and projects, from producing award-winning movies to shooting for exotic animal shows in Texas and Alaska to producing content for the largest boxing event in history. He has interviewed hundreds of entrepreneurs and industry experts from behind and in front of the camera. He's been the successful host and producer of numerous shows, including Startup Dallas, The Jason Croft Show, Strategy and Action, Power Content Coach, and Concentric. As a frequent speaker and guest on podcasts, he teaches people how to create leadership-level content. Jason's skill is pulling his clients' genius out and packaging it up for the world to experience. Through his company, Media Leads, business coaches and consultants hire him to build their own video visibility platform, elevating their online presence and attracting their ideal clients through powerful video content. Enjoy the show. Jason Croft, so good to see you.
Good to see you, Drew. Always a pleasure to have a conversation, and I'm excited to be back on the show.
Welcome back. So everybody, Jason was episode one back in October of 2022. And I think that's when I coined him called Jason the Great. And that's what I call him now. So Jay, it's great to have you back. And I know a lot has changed in the last year or so. And plus I miss you because since we haven't talked in a while, so I had to have an excuse to get you back.
Likewise. So I'm glad you did.
This is good stuff. So Jay, so I have people on the show, men and women alike, who've gone through something in life that has changed them, and they elected not to run away from it, but really hit it head on. And now, you know, when I talk about defining moments, I talk about how when we're kids, we're told life is linear, that it's a straight line. If you do all these things, then things are going to turn out okay. And that was like a lie. It's not a malicious lie that we were told. But at some point in our life, you know, in between those A plus B plus C, something outside our lives happens to us that derails us a little bit. And we have a choice. We either run away from it, ignore it, or we face it. And we become stronger because of it. And I know you've gone through a few things in your life, and everything's relative. I'd like you to think of that defining moment, that moment in your life, professionally or personally, that challenged you. And you had the decision to make of what do I do with this? And you found a better way to live that helped mold you into the Jason Croft you are now. Can you share that with the audience? I'd love to hear it, my friend.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's definitely a defining moment, defining decision. Mm-hmm. What's interesting about it relative to your question, and I think the way some people get faced with defining moments is a little bit different, mm-hmm. meaning, you know, it wasn't hitting rock bottom. It wasn't everything crumbled or this challenge came up. You know, this has to change or else. But that defining moment and that decision, it was a softer version. And I think we all experience that kind of thing, that soft, like, well, things are fine, you know, but I'm not living my potential. I'm not doing what I should be, you know, should be relative to what I know in my soul, you know, like those kind of things. Right. And it's almost a more dangerous because that can go on mm-hmm. forever, right? Right? If you don't address that and actually mm-hmm. listen to that voice and that pull and do something about it and instead numb it in whatever way that we numb it. And well, but you justify it. Things are fine. Right. I mm-hmm. make enough money or all of those things. So mm-hmm. for me, what sparked it was Malcolm Gladwell's book, The Tipping Point, right? Reading in there about he's got the three categories of people, like mavens, connectors, and salespeople. Okay. And reading that description of a connector, someone who just knows everyone, and that's who you go to meet this person and stuff like. And I read that, and I just, I mean, my whole body lit. I was like, I want to be that. Like it was, the light shone down, and I was the furthest thing in the world from that, right? Like I was the kind of, I was even, I think I was in a sales kind of role at the time and all of that. And I would go, if I ever did get to networking events, it was, hope somebody talks to me because I'm not going to talk to anybody. I was just like the furthest thing from it. And starting at that moment, I went on this very purposeful journey of, I mean, it's an ongoing journey, of course, but that transformation that happened in essentially a year's time from wanting to be that person, just to have that charisma, to walk into a room and be confident and be, and all of that stuff. All of that, getting that spark from the book, I think probably hitting 40, it helped a little bit too, going, oh, I don't give a crap what anybody thinks. I just realized that. It's such a freeing experience. And then the culmination of all it, going purposeful in that direction. Okay, how do I do this? Let me read the things and watch the videos. And how do I do this? And how do I communicate better and go into this? Plus, starting my first show ever called Startup Dallas. I was at a production company there in Dallas and found the startup community and was like, we should do a show for them. We've got, studio space, three camera shoot, the lights, everything's here. I'll sit in the chair and ask questions. And all of those things together, they were such a defining moment because that sent me on a path that I'm on now that I love. And I wouldn't be anywhere close to here without that moment to decide to become that, to jump in. Do my first show, which I fell in love with, but then also met, I mean, people who are just dear close friends to this day. I started running my own networking events for years, and it just, that was a transformation to really, and it did a couple of things. It certainly put me more into the me that, oh, this is me. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. I can feel that. But it also gave me a blueprint and just an example of what's possible for, gosh, even just the last year, I had to remember, like I needed that transformation to go from more of a service provider, film, video events. That's been my world for 30 years, right? And to make that transformation over to a coach, someone who guides people through a lot of these processes and stuff. And it helped to have that lesson in the past. Like, you can transform yourself. This
Absolutely.
is what's possible. This is what you do.
Absolutely.
And that's been that journey for me that I'm kind of in the middle of coming on to the other side there, getting, in the headspace to allow myself.
Absolutely. So before you picked up that book, did you see yourself as an introvert? Did you know it in your heart you were an introvert and wanted to break free? Or you didn't even see it that way?
No, and I'm definitely not, because I wouldn't have ever described myself that way either. It was just that, because that's the thing. Like, if I ever did go to those things, there's no problem talking to people once they start talking to me, right? Once
Okay,
that
so it was
happens.
the initiating the conversation wasn't your thing.
Oh
Once you were
what would I
approached,
possibly
you were
say?
in
Right,
your
yeah.
element. Okay, I understand that. I understand that. So I know that you used to be in front of the camera, correct? And now you're behind it or vice versa? Because I remember you coined something in the first episode about either behind the mic or in front of the mic,
Oh
probably
yeah,
from your initial show. What
the
was that?
opposite, right? So yeah,
Gotcha.
being behind the camera, right? For ever.
That's what it was. That's right.
And then with Startup Dallas was really that first time to be in front of it and sit down, and I was just like, nobody else is gonna do it, I'll do it, and falling in love with it,
I
Because one
love
thing
it.
I learned, and I remember the night I discovered this. You talk about introvert, extrovert, and where we get our energy. I still remember the night I discovered it at a networking event that I get energy from this, like this exchange and this, like, an introvert typically, they can do this, but it drains them. I've talked to them, have them on the shows who are like, yeah, I can sit here and be Mr.
Charismatic.
Charismatic and do this,
Yeah.
but I'm gonna go sleep for 3 hours after this,
Okay.
right?
So the
And
energy.
for me, I'm just like, whoo, we gotta talk to you next, like it
Got
just
it. Yeah. Tell me about that transition after you read the book and when you decided to get in front of the camera. Because to me, if I didn't know your whole backstory and I see you now, I would have thought you'd been doing this your whole life.
Well, I appreciate that. And it is funny to think because, and I love it because that's, I help my clients do exactly
Right.
that. And it's, again, it's such a great thing to point to. So number one, another fascinating piece is like my voice transformed, right? I wanted
Interesting. Okay.
a better voice. I couldn't, we all have that, right? Like we can't
Right.
stand our voices and we can't, when we hear it and all of that,
That's me.
we all have that.
Yeah.
But I'll go back and listen to episodes of Startup Dallas from
Okay.
2015, 2016.
Okay.
And my voice is actually different in part of the, I don't know, like part of its intention, maybe the
Okay.
reps, maybe, but being intentional about,
Mm
okay, I sound way too nasally here. I can't stand this.
mhm.
I gotta figure out how to do better.
Yeah.
But that feeds into this other piece of all of that, of being purposeful and
Absolutely.
not just, there's a falling into it, which I kind of did,
Yeah.
but there was also an intentionality to, I want to be great at this. I want to be really good at this. And
Okay.
it's both doing the reps that you just can't get past, right?
Right.
Like
Absolutely.
I can sense a different you right now
Yeah.
than episode one
Oh,
from
absolutely.
your show, right?
Yeah.
Like just like
Absolutely.
from everything, from our call before this to this
Yeah.
right now, like there's an energy from you of level of con, not that it was bad or anything wrong with, but that you're at another level now,
Well, no, that's absolutely fair. Confidence does something to the voice. It does something to the body, right?
Oh yeah.
You sit up straight. I slouched a year ago, and there's something too. And I was aware of it now, but there is something to feeling confident about your abilities because of all the reps, right? And because the failures are a blessing, right? We win and we learn, right? It's not a loss when we fail. So
Yeah.
actually, you know what? Thinking about that, tell me some a time you quote failed, whether it was personal or professional, yet you learned from it and it helped you gain confidence in yourself. Can you think of something like that? I don't know if it's your move to Colorado in the mountains. Because I know when you talk about the mountains, man, they speak to your soul. I remember that's a comment you said in the first episode. When you made that move to Colorado, is that a big change in your life?
Yeah, it was a massive change. I don't see that as a mistake in any way. No, it's been fantastic.
Yeah, it would have been a mistake if you left.
Oh, if I left here.
If you left Colorado at the time you had just moved there, that would probably have been something that you would say could
Oh.
be a regret. But I mean,
Oh, I definitely would
totally.
have.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm fortunate all that worked out. Yeah, it's a, that's a tough one. I'm trying to think. I think, my biggest mistakes have been lack of action. That's been my biggest ones.
Right, we've talked about that. Yep.
And I don't know that there's much upside to that other than the learning that you mentioned, right? There's definitely the lesson in that, you do that enough and you get that visceral, okay, I'm not gonna let that happen again. So that's the positive out of that, certainly. And
Absolutely.
that's, and the, I do say that's a mistake. Of course, timing and blah, blah, blah. And
Yeah.
there's benefit that maybe that didn't happen. And sometimes those things are in place, but when there's a pervasive lack of action,
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
just, it's a harmful thing in business for sure.
No, absolutely. I mean, and you know, the stuff that happens to us, we forgive ourselves because of we did what we could do with the tools we had at the time, you know? But I think the key thing is to realize that you need to change and actually take that step. And I know you've done a lot of you've taken steps that you weren't sure of, but you did it and it benefited you. And that helped you grow as a person. And I think it probably helped your boys too. You have three boys? Three sons? Yeah, tell me about your sons, how they're doing, and how you believe that your transformation has helped them grow, because kids kind of emulate the actions of their parents. So I'd love to hear about that and fatherhood and how all that's transpired.
Yeah, absolutely. And going through, divorce
Right.
a few years ago, and once we moved out here and everything, and I'm so proud, honestly, of both myself and my ex in that transition
Right.
time of just our boys are priority.
Right.
Right, like period, like that's, and they've felt that. We've had I've had conversations with them about that. Like they've felt that. Because we, we've all seen either movies, television, down to people we know, the negative, nasty versions, and that's
Right.
usually what we hear about and see.
Absolutely.
And so, it's been wonderful that they've had an example, front row seat of, oh, people can part ways and it be ab just amicable and
Amicable.
wonderful and
Yeah.
easy, right?
Yeah.
And it in all of this journey, what's great is to be able to have these kind of conversations with my boys,
Right, absolutely.
each of them at different levels, like 18, 15, and 11. And
Okay.
my 18-year-old, we have these conversations a lot in this, because he's in that space of personal development. And I thought, I really want to get better at this. And, as I learn things, being able to impart and some of those lessons that, I mean, there's so many times that I'm in mid conversation and in my head going like, yeah, you're talking to yourself. You need to get this figured out. But I'll also share that with them,
Right.
right? That's the
Yeah.
important thing. It's
That's
just like
beautiful. Right.
I'm telling myself as much as I'm telling you, and I'm so adamant and maybe upset in this moment, or just like, hey, I want to shake you,
Yeah.
like
Oh, yeah.
feeling,
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I'm feeling
Right.
this way
Yep.
because it's so important because I'm 49 and dealing with it,
Right.
So I'm telling you. This is a major thing to figure out. So it's that kind of conversation, not my way is a highway and you're under my
Right.
roof and the nonsense sort of
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
conversations. And
Absolutely.
I think that and being able to apologize, those are the two biggest just wins, I would say. I'm glad to stand up and say, as a father, that I know some men especially can't do, some just parents, period.
Right.
They feel like, well, that's not a father's role and they're blah, blah, blah. And you just keep that inside. And that's,
Absolutely.
to be able to go, oh, buddy, dude, I just lost my stuff and there was no reason for it. Like that was insane how I just reacted.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry,
Yeah, you
.
know, it's true. And that's a credit to you. And I think a parent needs to be comfortable in his or her own skin in order to be able to apologize to their child. I think too many parents have that ego of, I'm the parent, you're the kid, do as I say, not as I do. And that's going to be a detriment to the kids. So the fact that you're able to admit, and I do it too to my kids. I mean, I tell my kids every day, I learn something from them. They're teaching me something every day. And once we as parents can open up and say we can learn from our children, just as they learn from us, I think it makes for a healthier relationship. And I think you've done that with your boys. So that's good stuff.
And it doesn't have to swing all the way to, I don't know, some, you hear the, everyone wants to shout either this version or that version. It's either or, and it, of course you can swing too far the other way and it's, people rail against like, you're not your kid's friends. That shouldn't be the goal. And not, it's like, well, you don't have to like It's just such a weird thing that just that you have to stand in this thing. Like, there is a friendship there. There should ideally, like, that's
Of course.
amazing. Like, to have teenage boys and they want to be with me and I
Oh
want to be
yeah.
with them. That's a win. Like, no matter how
Absolutely.
you put it, and you can still be in that father role and have a human conversation and a
Absolutely.
peer-to-peer conversation. And you talk about building up self-esteem and confidence in your boys so that they can go out and operate in the world that way. It's huge.
Absolutely. I think I agree with you 100%. And I believe that growing up, we're almost, as men especially, we're taught to do an either or kind of thing. It's either this or that. And I think that's wrong. We can be both, right? So just like you can be the father, this is what I want you to do, you could also be the friend in the thing, or you don't have to be one or the other. And I think too often we pick one side or the other and we stick to it, and then we lose our authentic self. Like we're putting that mask on. And I think that happens a lot when the calendar switches and you go from 17 to 18, and now on paper you're considered an adult, right? And then depending on how the picture is painted of what an adult is defined as, we kind of lose that inner child and we stop having fun. I saw a quote the other day that said, "We don't stop laughing because we grow old. We grow old because we stop laughing."
Yeah, I
You
love that.
know. And I know you still are a kid at heart. I believe you posted once on with the motorcycle or something like that, and I told you to wear a helmet. Tell me about some hobbies like that that you enjoy out in the mountains of Colorado.
Oh yeah, hiking's a blast for sure.
Is it
Yeah,
a
I got a
motorbike or a
motorcycle.
motorcycle? You were on something. It was a
Oh
bike?
yeah, I got a motorcycle last year.
Motorcycle. There you go.
And none of the listeners will believe it, but it was actually a very practical decision.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
The car I was driving just like, and it was actually a, you know what, this would be really smart and, but then, I mean, I love it so much. It's so much fun. It's such a blast. And I had a motorcycle when I was six.
Okay.
So as a little kid,
I
like I
love
think
it.
it's bringing back that a lot, and it's great. It's kind of the best way to do it though. Like, I never cared anymore because I had it out of my system, I think, from like 6 to 11. I had a dirt bike and ride that. So I never, I wasn't on one in crazy teenage or 20s, time where maybe you're going to be a little more reckless. Now, 49, getting a motorcycle and just like, cool. Be smart about it and have fun.
Well, I love that, Jason. And there is a message here in what you're saying is that as we get older, we don't have to give up being that child, that inner child. Again, it's not neither or. It's a both. And we're able to choose when we can show our child self and when we need to be the adult. And I commend you for keeping that inner spirit. I mean, I lost it for a long time, pal, which to the point where my kids will ask me, like, "What do you do for fun, Dad?" And I'm like, "Duh, I have no idea, because I lost
Oh,
myself."
wow.
And so I'm in the
Yeah.
process of finding myself again and enjoying what, do. And
So what are you finding right now?
I tell my kids that I used to love doing practical jokes on my friends in college. I said, "Well, you don't want me to try those practical jokes on you guys." So they asked me to tell some of the stories, and I'm talking about tying my friend's shoelaces together while he's asleep in the library. So, and then we'd move to our seat, and then the lights flicker, and we all have to leave the library, and we hear the thump. It was him falling, and he yells, "Duraney!" So I mean, I just that stuff would make me laugh. I don't want to hurt anybody, but I would do stuff like that because it was just me. So I'm slowly opening up to the fact that I'm gonna start saying yes to my inner child. Like if I want to go out and have a snowball fight with my kids at age 55, I'm going to do it. As an example. But so I am rethinking of just being, you
Isn't
know.
it funny though, like it should be ludicrous that we can't answer the question like, what do you do for fun, right? Like, especially as I think especially as entrepreneurs, I think that's their own breed, because it's like, okay, family, friends, every chance I can, and in business, like that's the thing. Now, it's great when you love the business and you're in a mode of like, oh, I'm learning about this. I love learning about it. Like this
Right.
is and that is. I mean, that's I spend my free time
Yeah,
learning more
absolutely.
about business and I love it. And
Right.
it's a blast.
Yeah.
But there is something. It is a different thing when you can't just go, oh, well, yeah, for fun, I do this, and this. You
Yeah.
know,
Yeah.
you have to really search and, well, I guess.
Yeah, and it's a challenge. How often during the course of our busy days do we sit down and, with ourselves and reflect? We don't. We need to. It's important. It's
Oh, yeah.
important to sit down and remember who you were before the children. I mean, I've had the toughest time saying, "What was my life before kids?" But you know, it's there. The brain does not forget. There's layers of memory there. But if you really are purposeful, you talked about purposeful, really purposefully get to know yourself, then you start all of a sudden to remember some of the stuff you enjoyed doing in the past, you know? Because our brains can remember the good stuff, guys. Usually it remembers the bad, the negative stuff right away, but we can train our brain to remember the good stuff, and there's a lot of stuff. So yeah, I don't know. That's kind of like why I like hanging out with you, because I see that spirit in you, Jason. I don't know if you see it, even when we're at networking events or anything, when you speak, you seem to be enjoying life. And I think many people need to have somebody like you around them so it rubs off, because life should be enjoyed. It doesn't have to
Well, I
be
appreciate that.
difficult. We allow it to be difficult up here in our brains, right? So,
Well, yeah, and it's an interesting filter too, because it's, and it is, you're in control of it. You know, I think social media, let's just talk about Facebook in particular, I think is the perfect, it's just a great, beautiful real world example of what's true. That, you know, how many people do you know just like, well, I got off Facebook, you know, they're announcing on Facebook that they're off Facebook, right? I got off Facebook because it's just negativity and it's this and it's these horrible people doing, like, really? Because my feed's full of like moose and cool people I know and happy thoughts and positive quotes, and it's the algorithm. It's just reflecting back. And the world is like that.
That's
Whatever
a very
you're
good point.
feeding in there and spitting out, you're going to get more of. Like, you can put that in whatever category you want to, but that's just the way things are. And so when you stop the negativity coming in that makes you want to react to negatively back at, like, it's amazing how the world transforms.
It changed. I mean, well, that's the thing. We have a choice. We have a choice of who we let in our lives. And so that Facebook example, yeah. What we, I think it was our friend Fenton Joseph who said, be careful what you consume, or be aware of what you consume, whether it's food or whether it's thought or whether it's the people in your life. And no, that's a very good point. I think you know, as our mindset shifts in life and we go from a fixed and scarcity mindset to in a more of abundant one and more of a growth one, it's the law of attraction. We're starting to attract people who make us feel better about ourselves. And that's really what life is intended to be, right? Live in service and kindness, man. It does come back to you. You know? All right. So tell me a little about, before I get to my two questions, and I want to promote what you're doing right now, tell us a little about that transition from service provider to now the coach. I'd love to hear how you transition that. I know it's very recent, but you're going places with that. So if you can share that for a few minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's certainly a head game, right? It's just the allowing, which, you know, there's, we can all point to some example that's just like that part going on. But it's been a part of my service for folks. So especially in the last couple of years, the, you know, basically, you know, the done for you aspect of creating a video podcast for someone, doing all the stuff, right? Well, a big piece of that, you know, my clients would buy for the service, like, hey, I need to get this done and created. But then what they loved the most that I found out through those conversations, what were the coaching sessions, right? Before, after, you know, an interview that they did, or, you know, hey, let's dig into, you know, I know what you want to achieve with this show. These last six episodes, they're not hitting it. Like, what can we do to to steer the structure of the show to your interview style, to who you're bringing on and what you're doing with the, you know. So it's been there as a as an aspect, and just transitioning now to, okay, what form does that take? What's the tangible, you know, outcome to me saying, okay, I'm a coach now, right? You know, and in what very specific way. So, you know, it's taken a while to sort of first allow it, go like, you know, you can do just do the coaching part, right? Like, okay.
Absolutely.
And have enough people go, yeah, why aren't you doing that already? You know, which is helpful. But yeah, getting to that space, and then just, you know, finding for myself what I want, what form I want that to take, and maybe I'm comfortable with first, and then I know it'll probably evolve to here, but let me start with this. Let me start with a 6-week coaching program that I'm right there with them. It's one-on-one, and we're doing that. Like, build that, and then into these other things.
Well, I love that. I mean, on the service end, when you're doing all the video stuff, I get that part, and you need to have all that experience to transition into the coaching piece. What I love about what you do is you meet your clients where they are, and they tell you what they'd like to see people feel or out of the video, and then you can kind of guide them to what outcome that they want, right? I mean, because it's all different based on different clients. They may want their viewers to have some type of feeling, and if you don't see, the results giving that visceral reaction, then you could suggest something different. I mean, right?
Yeah, and the you know the big my big approach with everyone and helping them put this, you know, video podcast together is so that it actually grows their business, right? So I'm working with speakers, experts, coaches who they know their stuff. They've got this down. They're looking to grow their
Grow their
business, but also
business.
grow their reach, grow their impact, their personal brand over time. And to do that in a way, just making sure, first and foremost, before we ever record a single episode, making sure they have all that down. Where do you want to go with this? Who is your ideal client? Let's bring them on the show. Like, let's have these conversations with your folks. And there's several layers to this that helps them, just in the structure of their show, achieve that outcome.
Absolutely.
And then all along the way, like, okay, cool, this line of questioning, that line of question, you know, we can get into the nitty-gritty as well. But
Love that. Well, the audience is going to want to get to know more of you. We now know the essence of Jason Croft, and folks, you're
is
going
that
to
a
want to get in touch. What's
perfume
that?
essence? Is that a perfume or a
Essence?
men's
Yeah,
cologne?
probably it
Essence of
probably is
Jason.
the essence. And can't you smell it through the Zoom here?
Exactly.
So I want
I
to promote
was wondering what
this. Yeah,
that
it was me, and I picked the wrong thing off the shelf. Sorry about that. So people are going to want to get to know this guy. Go to J the very important thejasoncroft.com, and he's got links to all the different shows he's doing. Plus, you can learn more about Media Leads, his business. Plus, as a human being, you're going to want to get to know him. So do that. So I got two questions for you, Jason, before we go. All right. So you now have the opportunity to sit down with young 7 to 10-year-old Jason to give him advice about life. What are you going to tell him?
That confidence is everything, and all the doubts that you may have of yourself and insecurity stuff, everybody's got them. They all, no matter who you look at what age they are, they're feeling some version of it. And, you know, from gosh, making friends to, you know, achieving anything, and, you know, eventually getting a date, and all of that, confidence is everything. That would be my biggest advice.
I love that. All right, so switch gears, different hat on. You're now sitting with young entrepreneur, young businessman Jason Croft, and you want to give him advice about business. What advice are you going to give him?
That confidence is everything.
How did I know that was going to be the answer? All right, continue, sir.
And I'm happy to expand and do some other stuff, but it is amazing,
Yeah.
that took me 40 years to get anywhere close, to feeling it and knowing and understanding the power of that. Second to that, I would say err on the side of action. So you got an idea, boom, go,
I love it.
go,
I love it.
go. Yeah, but I'm thinking go.
Go.
You
I love it.
know.
Err on the side of action. I love that. Well, Jay, I have to say I'm grateful you're in my life, my friend.
Likewise, I appreciate that.
I want to thank you for continuing to be in my life all these years. I always thank the people who introduce us. And I was looking back. I have actually a spreadsheet here, and I believe it was Diana Mooring. Who introduced us
Oh, wow,
way
yeah.
back when? Yeah. So I want to thank Diana for introducing Jason to
Yes,
me.
indeed.
Yeah. And Jay, just thanks again for being who you are. Keep doing what you're doing. You're a breath of fresh air. And I am so looking forward to seeing you around. And someday, God will afford us the opportunity to meet in person. Man, I'm giving you a big hug.
Absolutely. Drew, it's an honor to call you a friend, and just have a front row seat to what you've been creating and you're creating now, and so impressed, man. It's a blast. It's been an honor to be here and have another conversation with you. And yes, we'll meet on a mountaintop one day.
Yes, we will. Well, I love you, brother Jason.
Love
All
you too,
right,
man.
everybody. Hey, be good to yourselves. Take care.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, please subscribe and give us a review to help others find it. If you find yourself immersed in adversity and would like to find support from other men in times of struggle, please become a member of my Men Supporting Men collaboration tribe by emailing me at drew@prophetcompassion.com, expressing your interest, and I'll get in touch with you. Speak to you soon.